Well, wonderful singing. If you have your Bibles, we will be in Job, the first chapter, and we'll start at verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thine power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace, Lord, we are so thankful for each and every one here and the opportunity to come before your presence and to worship you. Lord, this morning as we consider your word, we ask, Lord, that if there be any here that do not know Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, that Christ is presented in such a way, Lord, that they'll know that they need Jesus as their Savior. Heavenly Father, we just ask that in everything we do, you receive the honor and the glory. Ask you to forgive me of the sins I've committed against thee. All these things ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have been talking, I've been preaching a series, started a series on the book of Job and who Job is. And last week we talked about Job and the fact that Job was a man of faith. We hear about the patience of Job and the trials that he endured, but before you ever get to the trials, you see that Job was a faithful man. And we have here in verse 6, and I realize that theologians have differing opinions. Some would like to see these as angels. I don't see that, or fallen angels. So I'm gonna I get to preach this morning. So I get to present it the way I believe it. How does that work, huh? So it says, Now there was in the day, verse 6, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. We find that this verse is talking about the sons of God, and I believe that if you read the context of what's talking about here is that Job was the patriarch of his family. And the sons of God, those faithful men, came before God and presented their family unto God. They were the high priests, if you will. In Genesis, it talks about the sons of God marrying the daughters of men. And if you look at what it's talking about there, it's talking about the genealogies of faithful men taking the daughters of unfaithful men unto themselves, and they intermarried. And as a result of that, they started worshiping false gods, and there was no longer a lineage of sons of God, faithful men. So we find here that the sons of God, in reference to these faithful men, came to present themselves before the Lord. That is what Job had done in the first verse, or in the fifth verse, just above this. He had come to sacrifice unto God. Now,
The point that I want to make this morning, I want to look at the relationship of Job and Satan and God. I want us to consider Satan our adversary. We find that as Job came before God, Satan came also among them. As these men of God came, so did Satan. We have an adversary. Because I'm going to look at a lot of verses this morning, I'm going to put some verses on the overhead or on the screen. Some verses, I'll tell you which ones I'd like for you to turn. If you can follow and keep up, you can turn in your Bible with me. Be sober, be vigilant, because we have an adversary. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There in Job, the Lord said unto Satan in verse 7, "Whence comest thou?" Satan, where have you been? Now, I want you to notice that Satan and God have a dialogue, don't they? And Satan goes on to say, "I have been walking to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it." Why? Because we have an adversary roaming about, walking about. Satan says to God, "You know where I've been. I have been about trying to destroy your people." Oftentimes we don't realize the adversary that we have. He wants to destroy us. As God wants to preserve us, save us, present us faithful unto Him, Satan will do all in his power to keep us from doing that. 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices." But sometimes we are forgetful of his devices. We know that Satan works and is powerful. How does he work? He was walking to and fro in the world. And there in Job chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord said unto Satan, he says, "Have you thought about Job? Have you considered this individual, Job?" He says, "There is none like him." Now think about this. God is having this conversation with Satan. What a praise that is of Job. And Satan says, verse 9, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" There is a reason, God. There is a reason. And he goes on and he says, "God, the only reason is you have a hedge about him. I can't attack Job the way you've let me attack everybody else. Lord, you say there's nobody else like him, and look at what you've done for him. Everything Job does, Lord, you make it good. Not Job, you make it good. And his substance is increased." Verse 11, "Put forth thy hand, or remove your hand, or touch him, cause him harm, and all that he hath, cause harm to what he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." This is the debate that Satan and God has about Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Go. Go." This isn't the only one in Scripture that Satan has attacked. Remember Adam and Eve? Eve in the garden? They had one rule, only one rule. There was nothing they could do to sin but one thing. God said, do not eat of this tree. Hundreds, thousands of trees in the garden. Just this one is special. I got one rule, only one. Things went fine until Satan came along, and he said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He says, who told you that? Well, God said. Well, no, that's not really. See, really, God is worried that you'll be just like God. Really, if you disobey God, it will be better for you. See, the first thing we want to understand is Satan attacks us directly. Satan went and attacked Job directly. Took everything he had. And when Job came with the sons of God to offer sacrifices, who was there? Satan. When faithful people are serving God, Satan is there. I believe that he would love to destroy us this morning. As they congregated to worship God, as we congregate to worship God, he would love to destroy that testimony. And as Eve wanted to be obedient to God, he says, who told you that? See, God's just telling you a lie. Satan works directly upon us, directly telling us. In Zechariah, the third chapter, the first verse, we're going to talk about some of those verses, verses 1 through 5 specifically. It talks about a high priest standing there. God says, there is the high priest. I want you to look at this high priest standing there. And as there's a high priest there, God removes the veil so we not only get to look at the high priest, but we get to see the spiritual aspect of the high priest. See, we don't understand this thing about Satan and us directly. Turn with me to Ephesians 6, verse 12. It says there, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oftentimes in our spiritual life, as long as we have the basics, you know, we're okay. We don't see it as a spiritual battle. We're so worried about, Lord, make sure that I have a good job. Lord, make sure I have insurance. Lord, make sure I have enough money to live. Lord, make sure I have enough money to have a car. Lord, what about gas? We're so worried about the flesh and blood stuff. Then we get sick. Lord, and our prayer requests are that. And I understand that's where we live. But folks, our battle for serving God isn't really in the flesh and blood battle. This isn't the real wrestle. These are often symptoms of our wrestle with spiritual things. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it goes on and it says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What a battle. Job, it says that, and I don't want to talk too much about this because I want to preach on this specifically next week, but Job lost everything that he had physically. All of his wealth, all of his family, his kids were gone, everything was gone. And it says, in all of this, Job sinned not, nor curse God. He didn't go about being worried about, oh Lord, you know, this physical stuff. I think Job understood it was a spiritual battle. And we really get to see that in Zechariah, the third chapter. You know, you see the high priest, and if Satan can destroy the high priest, how many other people you think would fall? It's kind of like if the pastor fails spiritually, does that hinder the spiritual life of others? It does. If other prominent people in the church that have a great testimony for God, if Satan can destroy them, do you think it is going to affect others? Satan understands if he can pick off the weak one at a time, that's good. But if he can get one of the leaders, he can get multiple people, can't he? And God gives us a unique opportunity to see how this spiritual warfare works with a spiritual leader. Now, if it is this way with a spiritual leader, it's no different for you and I, for an individual too. We understand Satan attacks individuals. He attacked Eve, didn't he? So in Zechariah 3:1, and he showed me Joshua the high priest. Now, Zechariah saw the high priest all the time, but he didn't ever see the high priest like this. I saw the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. There was an angel there. You know, there are angels, and I don't preach about them because, you know, it's something we don't see, and it's kind of hard to talk about, but there is a spiritual realm. And when that veil was lifted, Zechariah saw that, and there was an angel there ministering unto that high priest, helping him. In verse 5 or 7, I'm not sure which one, but it talks about there is also an angel, whether it's the same angel or a different angel, literally protecting this high priest. Not only do we have an angel ministering, but there was an angel protecting. Now, in Jesus' ministry, there was angels that ministered unto him. Paul said, be careful how you treat people, because you may be entertaining an angel unaware. My sermon's not about angels. My point is the spiritual realm that we're not even aware of. This battle is spiritual. God is fighting on our side spiritually, and we don't even know it. He is defending us. And so here is Joshua, and here is the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And he says, Satan, standing at the very right hand of the high priest, and in everything he does, Satan is resisting him. Satan is fighting against the high priest in everything he does. God says, Satan, where have you been? I've been walking to and fro, up and down in the world, that I may devour your people. Satan does not want you to succeed. Matthew 4, verse 3, Jesus had just fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He goes to the desert, and there Satan is right there. And he says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. To illustrate that this is a spiritual battle, Jesus, who had all power, could have destroyed Satan right then, couldn't he? Absolutely. Instead, he defended himself in such a way to give us an example. He didn't use his power as the Son of God. He didn't use his extraordinary godly power, which you and I don't have, do we? He did something very human. He quoted the Word of God. Every time, three times, Satan gives him temptations. Take this bread. Surely, Jesus, you are hungry. You haven't eaten for 40 days. Satan tempts us in the physical. Surely you need a new car. Surely you need a big house. You need a better job. You need to work harder to get us to ignore the spiritual things. And Jesus, in defense of himself, literally quoted the Word of God. Our best defense isn't how good we are, but the power of God. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you want to defeat Satan, defeat him by the power of God. And so we find that Satan also, he said, He took him up on a high place and he says, Satan, or Christ, prove to me that you are who you are. Now remember, Satan and Christ have had a relationship in heaven. When Christ on one occasion comes to a man who was demon-possessed, the demon says, Son of God, what do we have to do with you? They knew who the Son of God was. Satan knows who the Son of God was, and he tempts him. He says, if you really are the Son of God, jump off here and call the angels to save you. Prove to me you are who you are. And again, Jesus just quotes Scripture. And then the last one, he takes him up to a high place and he says, look, everywhere you look in this world, I have power, Christ. I have power. Bow down and worship me and look at what I will give to you. Those areas are the three areas that Christ tempts us. Physical, our mental, and our spiritual. And the only way to defeat him is by the power of God. We find in Job, back in the book of Job, as Satan comes and he works at us and he resists us and he tempts us with things. We also find that he has other things that he does. In verse 9 of Job 1, he says, Then Satan answered the Lord, Doth Job fear God for naught? And he says that if you will do this, he will curse you. He says, God, Job only serves you because you help him. He is standing there accusing Job before God, isn't he? Look at Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now this is talking about a future event when Satan is going to be kicked out of heaven and denied access before the throne of God. But up until that point, Satan can come here and tempt you and resist you, and then he'll go before God and he'll say, Look, God, look at what he's doing. Look at Job. He only serves you because you're being nice to him. If you would give him a little bit of pressure, he would crumble and he will curse you before God. He stands there and he accuses us. What did it say? That for the accuser of brethren cast down, which accused them before the throne of God, day and night. He is relentless with his accusations concerning God's people. But we find that we have an advocate. There in Job, verse 11, God says, Put forth thy hand now and touch him. All that he hath. But God says, I'm sorry, wrong verse. Verse 12 is what I want to read. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth not thy hand. God said, You can do anything you want to what he has. But I want to remind you, Satan, that Job is mine. We have a defender in heaven. We have an advocate. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. You know, it's kind of discouraging when we talk about Satan and the fact that he's working on us, resisting us, tempting us, and then he runs before God and he says, See, look there, every little thing we do, he's pointing out. That's kind of discouraging, isn't it? But then when we understand the whole spiritual realm of it all. John writes this. He says, I write these things that you sin not. And if you sin, I want you to understand this. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. As Satan is the accuser of the brethren before God, standing there day and night, Jesus is the faithful advocate, sitting there day and night. And every time he says, look at that sinner, look at what they did, God. Look at how terrible that person, Jeff Harlan, is. And every time I claim 1 John 1:9 and I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus turns to the Father and says, Father, I've taken care of that sin. It's okay, Dad. That one is paid for. I like this verse. Verse 10 says, we have an accuser. He comes day and night. He accuses the brethren. And verse 11 in that same chapter says, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. We have an accuser, but we have an advocate. And there are times in which I stand and I sin, and Satan says, look, and he's right. I'm guilty. I'm filthy. Because I don't claim 1 John 1:9. But as soon as I do, Jesus says, Lord, that's covered. That's covered. And there was a time in my life when I did not know Jesus Christ. And Satan would say, he's not even yours. He's mine. He is a child of the world. He is a child of mine. And one day when I was 13 years old, the Holy Spirit convicted me. And I got on my knees and I asked the Lord to save me. And Jesus turned to the Father and says, he's ours. And as Satan tried to claim me, Jesus would say, no, he's mine. Zechariah, there where it talks about that high priest, God ripped the veil back, said, I want you to see the spiritual part of this. There was the angel of the Lord in verse 1 ministering, Satan on his right hand resisting everything that he tried to do right. And in verse 2, the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? God says unto Satan, I own this one. He was in the fire. He was in all that sinful stuff. But Satan, he's mine. He's plucked out of the fire. You can't have him. Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. And you think Satan was standing there and saying, now, one thing the high priest was concerned about was what he wore. As Zechariah saw him physically, the high priest was always immaculate. But as the veil was rent back and he saw the spiritual aspect of the high priest, he saw him as filthy, as a sinner. As Satan resisting him and winning the battle, and he had made his life filthy with sin. And he stood before the angel, verse 4, and he answered and he spake these things that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments. We have an advocate. Every time we claim 1 John 1:9 and we confess our sins, this is what happens spiritually. Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. I will make you clean, Jesus said. How do we overcome? By the blood they overcome by the blood. By the blood we can be made clean. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as wool by the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. We have an advocate. We have an adversary. He is so hard, standing in front of you, beside you, on your right hand, behind you, and he is resisting you. And as soon as you stumble, he runs before God and he says, see, look at that. Look at how little he cares for you. And if you do right, he runs before God and he says he's only doing it because you bless him. And sometimes God will take away the blessings or allow Satan to test us. This life isn't just about the blessings of God. It's about how we live for God. And in order to do that, we have to understand the reality of the spiritual things. We have an adversary. And he works hard against you and before the throne of God to defeat you. But if you have ever confessed Jesus Christ, if Satan ever tries to claim you, Jesus turns to the Father with the blood and he says, he's covered. We own him. We've adopted him. He's a child of God. As children of God, we never lose that. But as children of God, we sometimes sin, don't we? We sometimes stumble. Here is the spiritual leader of Israel, a saved man, owned by God, plucked out of the fire. God has ownership. But yet, he was filthy. And as soon as he was ready to be cleaned and ask forgiveness, God says, let's clean him up. Jesus turns to the Father and says, I apply my blood. Let's give him clean raiment. We have an advocate. We have an adversary, but we don't have to be defeated. 1 John 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. For he that is in you, the presence of Jesus Christ, is sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Father, just waiting to plead your case. And every time, God will say, not guilty. Because Jesus paid our sin debt for us. So we don't have to be guilty. We don't have to have the burden of our sins. He will remove it every time we claim 1 John 1:9. If we will confess our sins, he is just and faithful to do what? To forgive our sins. We have an advocate, and he's so powerful because of his blood. What he did. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, the very first thing he did and said, as he looked at those that cried, crucify, crucify, he says, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Even in dying for the sins of the world, he was an advocate for our sins. What a Savior. We have an adversary, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If the pianist and song leader will come forward, let's all stand. As Satan resisted Job, and as Satan went before God and said, he's not that good, Lord. Just let me have him. We have an adversary. We're no better and we're no worse than Job. Satan would like to destroy you. I don't know if you're one of the strong ones that if he destroys you, he'll destroy 10 or many, many other. Or if you're one of the weak ones and if he just gets you. But whoever you are and wherever you fall in that, he wants to destroy you. But I want you to know you have an advocate. Jesus wants to turn to the Father and say, "Here's my blood." If this morning you have never accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, if you're a child of the world, a child of Satan, if you've never turned your life to God, to Jesus Christ, Jesus is just waiting to say, "Lord, He's ours. We adopt Him. Let's make Him one of ours." And if you're a child of God, and if you're struggling with Satan resisting you, and if you need to claim 1 John 1:9, confessing your sins, He'll do that. He'll turn and say, "Let's forgive that sin." Or, you know, if Satan is just resisting you like Job, and in all the things that Satan did to him, Job sinned not. But oh, how he poured his heart out to God, because it was a tough battle. Job said, "Lord, help me. Lord, how can I endure?" And Jesus would turn to God and say, "Should we give him some more strength, Father?" What an advocate we have in Jesus Christ through the blood. You can have victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have a need this morning, won't you come as we sing?